Jesus replied, "The scriptures also say, 'You will not test the Lord your God.'" Matthew chapter 4, verse 7. This is a fragment taken from the moment when Jesus was taken to the desert to be tempted. We all perhaps at some point have heard this word. And today, we can remember those temptations in which Satan wanted to do. Satan tells Jesus to jump from a high mountain, from the highest point of the temple. And if he was the Son of God, he would send his angels to protect him. It seems somewhat sensible. It seems like a test that could be answered. And if we put it at this time, it could be a test that one could say, well, let's show him that we are children of God and God can do it. Like, how many times have we done it, right? Over and over again. Things that simply because we think that God is with us, it will go well for us. And simply because of that fact that we believe that God is with us, he is going to do it. But could it happen? How many times have we done things that by the fact of God being with us, he will support us. And in the end, we end up a little frustrated because the question that comes to our mind is, why did God not endorse me? If God is with me, this is one of the most common mistakes we fall into because we misinterpret the scriptures. God is with us, but it's one thing to be with us and another thing is to be approved or endorsed. The desires that we have when they are out of his will. It's as if you have children. You could understand me. Your children want many things, but we cannot tell them that if we protect all of them because they are at home with us, there are going to be times when they are going to make decisions and they have to suffer the consequences of those decisions. And they can't ask, but why doesn't dad help me? Why doesn't mom help me? Simply because they have to learn that every decision has a consequence. And the consequences are not very good. When the decisions we make are out of the established parameters, outside the correct order, there are many things that you are going to yearn for in your heart. And the question is, if they really are under the will of God, are they correct? God wants you to do them? Have you consulted God at some point? Are you simply doing them under the concept that if God is with me, it should go well for me? But my dear friend, things don't work that way. You are misunderstanding. So today, I want to tell you about one word, which I think is in the world very much on the way to extinction. One of many, and this specific word not being used, not being lived. We have been involved in so many problems and so many difficulties that perhaps today you could be living one of them. This word of which I want to speak to you today is the word prudence. And today, my advice in this devotional is to teach you a little or remind you or tell you about this great friend called prudence. What is so important to be able to live this life, especially the season that has touched us today, a season that due to the difficult situation moves feelings and emotions and leads us to react many times in the wrong way. We react emotionally and not wisely. Wisdom has to do with prudence, and prudence goes hand in hand with wisdom. It's not just about having certain information about life, because having information is not enough. Learning means have information to then know it wisely. Apply it at each specific time. That's why the Word of God teaches us, my beloved friend, that everything has its time. Everything and everything that is wanted under heaven has its time. When Jesus arrives at the house of Martha and Maria, you remember that story. Maria sits at the feet of Jesus, listening to him, but Martha starts to do work. And to be aware of the details to the point that judges her sister because she is not helping her. Now, Martha thought that as the hostess, she had to take good care of her guest. But it was not the position that God wanted for Martha. Many times, we want to do things for God without listening first. What He wants us to do in obedience. Obedience is so pleasing to the Lord that He is more interested in obedience than the sacrifices themselves. Now I ask you, how can you please someone if you don't know what they like? It's like trying to please my wife, doing so many things during the day, and at the end of the day, I approach her and I don't notice a smile, but I feel sad. I could tell her, my love, everything I did on this day was to please you. Why are you not happy? And perhaps she would tell me, everything you did was very good, but not everything you did was to my liking. I'm implying the same things happen with God. We try to do so many things and to think that while more religious, more pleasant to Him, the more we do and the less we stop doing, the more pleasant. And it's not about that. It's about learning to listen, to be obedient. And in that obedience, to be able to do things in the correct way. With prudence, to apply what we have received from the Lord. And each time, and for this season, Jesus says to Martha, Martha, only one thing is necessary. There I have learned that each time, each moment brings a new opportunity so that we know how to take advantage of it. And we will not know how to take advantage of it if we are not prudent. We will not know how to take advantage of it if we do not have wisdom. Information does not guarantee that you are wise. You could be a person who has so much information in his head, but in the end, at every moment, you do not know how to apply it. And for that wisdom is required, a wisdom that this world cannot give, because this world judges things lightly and makes us move according to the prejudices and ideas that have already planted in our hearts. But when we let God rule our life, then we no longer have prejudices. What we do it based on what He has already said and decided. My dear friend, prudence is a quality that consists of acting or speaking carefully, fairly, and appropriately, being cautious, having moderations in everything we do, to be able to foresee things and to reflect before doing it, to be sensible, and to be cautious in all things. That is to be prudent. That's why I return to the text that spoke to you at the first in Matthew 4. Satan wanted to tempt Jesus with recklessness. And recklessness, how much it could cost us, even life itself. And I tell you, because today we have many people with a slightly wrong understanding of the scriptures. And we think that this pandemic, we have received our teachings that have distorted the truth. And we think that this pandemic is something of the devil. And therefore, I am not going to hold on. I am going to leave the house, for this has nothing to do with me. I cover myself with the blood of Christ, and I cover my family, and I go out into the street. I don't take care of myself, and I do things the way I want. And in the end, the coronavirus takes on another victim. Then the others begin to question and to ask, but why does God not love us? Because He was in the streets preaching. Because if He was fasting, because if He was a good person, because if He wanted to do was preach, He got infected and died. Why? If He was a good pastor. And this point will touch sensitive fibers. But believe me, I am talking to you with my heart in my hand. Why? If He was a good shepherd, why did He have to die? Now, I am not going to give you the excuse that God took him. It was already his moment. Yes, in the presence of the Lord. But an imprudence made him buy his ticket before. Yes, I would touch him. And it's there where we think we have prudence. And we are being in beginning in life. How prudent as a church are we being today in front of this pandemic? How are we taking care of ourselves? Either we become emotional or we prejudge all things out of the correct order. The Bible gives us various advice about prudence. And the first was one that Jesus said, "Do not tempt the Lord your God." You will not test the Lord your God. Some things are not going to turn out as you want because they are not in the order of God. And others because God has not even commanded you to do so. We have been prudent. Jesus himself expressed it in Matthew chapter 7 when he speaks of two men. One who built his house on the rock and the other who built his house on the sand. Which Jesus said, "I will compare the prudent man to the one who built his house on the rock, and the one who hears my words and does them. I will compare him to a prudent man, to hear and to do, not to be forgetful listeners, but to hear, to know how to interpret what you are hearing without any prejudice, to receive it clearly from God, and to be obedient to what you are listening carefully, with patience, and with peace of heart, so as not to misinterpret what God is saying, and then have to pay the consequences. Everything that comes out of the mouth of God is endorsed by God, but God will never endorse what he did not say. My beloved friend, that's why Jesus said, you will not tempt the Lord your God. You will not test him. And if you listen and do, you will be a prudent man. There are other characteristics that the Bible tells us about prudence. Proverbs 14:15 says, "Fools believe everything they are told. The prudent carefully examine their steps. They know how to observe." The Bible also teaches us how those who are prudent learn to use words. They know when to speak. They say too much talk leads to sin. Be prudent and keep your mouth shut. Also, the Bible teaches that the prudent anticipates danger, can foresee the situation, and takes precaution. But he who is not prudent goes forwards and ends in destruction. It's important to learn, my beloved friends, that we need to be prudent. In times of more crisis and more difficulty, prudence is that virtue that comes from God that can save your life again and again. And not only to you, but your descendants. To think that nothing can affect us is foolishness. I invite you to be careful a little today. Not a little. Be very careful. Now, be careful not to scratch in fear. And in fear, because it's not about you, nor fear and fear. It's about being prudent. And the prudent is a brave one who knows when to operate, to speak, to act at the right moment. Because God has taught him the best prudence is not learned in books. It's learned in the experience of knowing God and clearly understanding the purpose he has for each one of us. Then you will understand that everything you do every day will have good results if you apply prudence, which is the wisdom that comes from knowing God. Father, I thank you for your word and what you teach us today. Thank you for your kindness, and thank you because your word are life and they sustain us. Lord, help us to learn about prudence, to be prudent, so that we don't let ourselves be deceived and asking why this and that happened to me. If God is with me, help us understand, Lord, Give us that prudence to be able to do things in the correct order and at the right time. Because how many things have we done outside of the time that you have established? Some things, sometimes we fall behind and we get ahead because we do things our way. But today, Lord, may it be your way, Lord. In the name of Jesus, amen. This is a translation from your pastor and friend, Elias Hoyos. He spoke to you, and he invites you to subscribe to our devotional YouTube channel, Just in Time. And on Instagram, you can follow him as Pastor Elias HC. Blessings.